Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So today's episode, we're going to talk about what it's like to be the child of a sex therapist. I have with me today my son, Reed Watson, who is also a sex therapist now. And we're going to talk about our relationship growing up and what it's like to be working with his mother in the field of sex therapy.
And maybe even what it's like working with her son in the field of sex therapy.
Indeed. Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. So, Reed, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is really neat, talking with you. Tell us, tell everybody, what was it like growing up with a sex therapist as a mother? I know people always ask me, what do your children think of this? What does your mother think of this? By the way, my mother is a little embarrassed, but my children?
Well, for me at least, I think that it was normal, for the one thing.
Mm-hmm. It was all you had.
It was all I had, so it wasn't really that different, I think, than some of the other jobs my friend's parents had. I think it did change the way we see sex and the way we were taught about it, and maybe the way we discuss it just as a family, mm-hmm. In general, kind of our ideas about it.
I think that the general opinion of people is that, you know, if you're raised by a sex therapist, wow, you're going to know so much about sex, and your parents are going to be really loose as they talk about it and free and uninhibited. And was that your experience in our home?
Well, I would not say that it was utterly free and uninhibited. I do believe that we had an open conversation. I think mm-hmm. that it was open. It was prioritized. Mm-hmm. You had a specific set of you wanted to educate us about sex. And I don't think everyone's parents do that, obviously.
Right.
So that was different.
Yeah, I think that's very true, that I did, you know, want it to be open. And I wanted to tell you guys as you grew up, I wanted it to be a continuous conversation. You know, something that was natural and normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember you, the first time I remember you asking about sex.
Uh-huh.
You were about 4 or 5, and there was a woman that was pregnant. And I think you already knew that babies were made with the daddy sperm and the mommy egg. And you were like, I know, mommy, but how does the daddy sperm get to the mommy egg? And then I told you about the pieces that fit together like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, you know, that's it. That was one conversation done.
Yeah, I remember we had a book. It was like a very, it was pastel, illustrated in pastels, very sort of like...
Even sex therapists have books for their children.
Yeah, exactly. And it was very vague, obviously. Child appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But I do remember that. And I think that's where it started. And yeah, maybe at that point I wanted a little more information.
Yeah.
Or I thought I did, because it sounds like I kind of clammed up after you said that.
Maybe so. How did your friends and community react to the fact that your mom was a sex therapist?
Well, when I was younger, it was a little bit different. I think that... You know, that movie, Sex Education, or that show that came out on Netflix, it wasn't really anything like that. I wasn't in the bathroom stall giving advice to people. But I think, yeah, blessedly. But I think that we definitely, it was in the conversation. We knew what it was, and we knew that this was happening. I think it was a little bit, it was only later, really, that my friends really wanted to know more and about relationships and were coming to you for advice mainly to you, really.
Yeah, definitely I became the go-to person for some of your friends in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, they confided in me and things like that.
I think my favorite story from being a child is when my fifth grade science teacher, I think we were talking about it. I don't remember
exactly.
I think
it was career day.
Oh, I think it was career day.
Yeah.
And you, we had been talking about you, but I think this was like the next day or something. And she said like, well, what if I wanted to get in contact with your mother or something like that? And I like immediately whipped out a business card for Awakenings and was like, or at the Loving and Living Center at that point, and said, hey, here you go. I have something right here for you. And
did you carry my cards?
I don't think I carried them all the time. I think I just had them that time.
Maybe leftover from career day or something.
Yeah, probably.
That is so, but I think my most embarrassing moment was, well, a couple things. Like, there was a school play that you were in junior high.
Oh, I remember that.
And they were really doing what I thought was age-inappropriate metaphors and scenes. Like, they were talking about, yeah, my brother is using coke in the backyard. I'm like, what? These are junior high kids. I mean, I was just appalled. And I remember calling around some of the mothers, talking to them, and I said, you know, I'm Lori Watson. They're like, yeah, we know who you are. I'm like, oh, no. That, and then when your first girlfriend, we didn't really allow you to go on alone dates. I think it was all chaperone, and she was like 14. Yeah. And I remember coming over and—
So was I, by the way.
Yeah, you were 14 too. And she was talking with me, the mother, and she's like, so what do you do? And I'm like, oh, no, I do not want to tell this woman what I do.
I'm a relationship therapist.
I'm a psychotherapist, which is actually how I introduce myself most of the time to people. I don't offer up. If they don't know who I am, that I'm a sex therapist, I just say I'm a psychotherapist.
Right, which is true, of course.
Yeah, I think it I don't know why I do that. I think it's just kind of too titillating. People are, you know, there's shock value in it. Every once in a while, that's a fun
one. Well, I enjoyed the shock value as a kid. That's what I'm saying.
You did?
I would be like, oh, yeah, my mom's a sex therapist.
You got street cred.
Wow.
When you were a teenager.
I don't think we knew what that meant.
Yeah. Left to their imagination, unfortunately, probably.
Right, yeah.
So how do you feel like having had a sex therapist as a mom impacted your own relationships?
Well, I think that we definitely, the lessons that we learned as a family, the lessons that were passed down by you and Dad both, were definitely very relational and caring and things like that, you know, which probably is not sex specific.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when I first was becoming sexual for the first time, this was several years later from that other story, that basically I think we were more planned and prepared than a lot of kids are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of kids, they just get into it and it's sort of a surprise and it's an oh my God moment. What are we going to do? What just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that part and I understood.
You were more conscious.
I was more conscious of some of it.
Yeah,
intentional. That's a good word. But I don't think, it didn't mean that it was completely absent of complications,
mm-hmm.
but.
So you were still, I'm sure, what, anxious? And
yeah, and I think there's the classic, I think a lot of times the way sex is portrayed in the media, well, is wrong in so many ways, but the way that it's portrayed for teenagers in the media is a really special night and you're really happy or it went really terribly and you got pregnant and now what are you going to do? Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the reality is somewhat in between a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so that was certainly the case for me, that we were like, oh man, was that, you know, we were prepared and we were safe, but was that a great idea? I don't know. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Still conflict. And at that point in your life and your relationship, whether or not it was going to add to you and create something between the two of you that was good or maybe not. I certainly remember when I realized you had become fully sexual.
Oh, yeah. I know you do.
And I think we still have a debate about this. And this was, this was at a point in your life where you were staying out without a curfew, as far as I remember. You were driving.
Yeah.
I think you were, like, I don't know, senior in college or something like that. Yeah.
Junior in high school.
Junior in high school. Yeah. Okay. And I had woken up in the morning, and there was this blue, on our hardwood floor, a blue wrapped condom.
Yeah.
And I just remember.
An unopened condom. Yeah.
And I remember going, okay, so I guess this is an announcement, you know, because who loses their condom out of their pocket? But I remember putting it on the counter and Dad and I kind of were sitting at the kitchen table when you came down and went, oh, whoa, there's the condom, you know. And then we wanted to have a conversation, which you thought we were totally overreacting.
Well, I guess we do disagree. I mean, this is sort of the sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, I guess, that I was it wasn't like an Easter egg hunt where I was planting condoms around for y'all to find. It was more of a, you know, they sell condoms in those long connected packages.
No.
I don't know. You know, so I think it was just one fell out. So that's funny that you used the word announcement, which I guess it was inadvertently, I think, on my part.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like any parent, I had a lot of anxiety about you becoming fully sexual. I think I thought you were too young. I think I expressed that and you were like, I can't believe this, you know. I thought you'd be understanding or something.
Right, yeah. My hope for you as a sex therapist there coming through. Which I mean, I think now I look back and I definitely understand your apprehension. And when I think about, I don't have kids yet, but when I think about a 16, 17, 18-year-old having sex for the first time, that does seem a little stressful.
Yeah. Sex is so powerful, and I think it's so powerful relationally. I didn't know that you were ready. I mean, obviously, you're ready when you think you're ready.
Right. Or no one's going to stop you when you think you're ready.
Yeah. No one's going to stop you when you think you're ready. But, I mean, I would say that even after that, we got through that, and then we had more, as I recall, more fairly open conversations about it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it sort of reminds me of those parents that deal, parents deal with a lot of things. They deal with drinking, they deal with drugs, they deal with sex. And I think one of the things is, how do we make sure that it's going to happen safely? Because there are dangers for teenagers to have sex in the ways that they do in movies and TV and the ways that are passed down culturally.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously there's the overt danger, right? STDs and pregnancy. But I think I didn't really worry about that with you guys. I knew that you would protect yourselves and protect the woman. But I think I had a lot of concerns about you relationally. Like, were you going to be able to integrate this in a positive way so that you felt good about yourself and that the young woman felt good about herself? And it added, to me, sex is supposed to add to connection and love and care, and it, you know, needs to be done respectfully. And I always knew that my boys would be respectful. I've never questioned that ever. But it was more like, are you, my kid, you know, ready? Is she going to treat this with confidence and keep it between the two of you? And, you know, I had all kinds of concerns, and I probably didn't say it perfectly. If that's reassuring to all you parents out there, even somebody who thinks about it day in and day out, I don't think I did it perfectly.
Well, it's different when it actually happens.
Yeah.
There's a dress rehearsal, thinking about it, planning, and then on opening night, I think it's a little different.
Right. Okay, well, let's come back. I'd love to hear how the experience as a child of a sex therapist impacted your own career.
Absolutely.
So just a quick word about our couples intensives that both me and Lori offer. Oftentimes, healing in relationships, it just takes more than the average 50-minute session every week over several months of time. Couples intensive therapy offers an alternative to that. What happens over a weekend, typically 12 to 16 hours, somewhere in there, that really helps to calm high conflict situations, build more healthy patterns of communication, and really it's a jump start to change, right, Lori? Like,
absolutely.
It can be something that can really catapult you into change a little bit quicker than the average once a week type of therapy situation.
I think so. And people ask me, what does it look like? What do you do? And usually for me, I do a 3-day itinerary. The first day is basically coming to, why did they come at this point in their relationship? What is their current functioning? And then often maybe that's a Friday night, Saturday morning, we start talking about what is the dynamic? Where's the toxic cycle? And then we look at their family of origin. And I would say by Saturday afternoon, that's the time that we start to really dig into, how do you stop the toxic cycle? And maybe if the problem is over sexual difficulties, there's an assignment and a discussion about what that will be. And they usually complete that assignment in their hotel room all by themselves. You know, we don't do any of that, you know, supervision of that. But we then the next morning debrief that and talk about, you know, how the assignment went. There is often time at this point, because of the amount of hours that we've spent together, to perhaps process one trauma from the past as well. So, you know, it's a really intensive way of working. It's my favorite way to work. And, you know, I'm reducing kind of my weekly caseload at this point. So this is where I'm directing my efforts in clinical work.
Right. You also get a post-intensive action plan to take home with you to follow up. We plan how you can continue this work for you. But we'd be happy to talk to you more about if you feel like an intensive is right for you, whether it'd be good to work with me or with Lori. So give us an email at info@foreplayradiosextherapy.com.
Okay, I'd like to also invite all of you to our retreat in Asheville, Love and Sex 360. We are doing a second retreat in Asheville, North Carolina in the fall of, I think it's the weekend of November 15th. And you actually arrive for a cocktail party on Thursday, and then we go through Sunday. We have broken out the options so that it's more affordable for some of you. You can take just the classes and do the homework, or you can combine, as we did our first time, the classes and private counseling with one of the teachers, who is myself, Dr. Adam Matthews, Shelley Hummel, or Carol Cullins, who are really reputable therapists. And actually, Reed, you too, now as a sex therapist, you do intensives at Awakenings, don't you, over the weekend?
Yeah, definitely, which is an opportunity for people that can't come on a sort of the more traditional schedule to still get the care they need, I would say.
Right. So, okay, you decided to go into sex therapy. How did that happen? And tell me everything.
Sure. I think there's probably two really important phases of that decision. Mm. The first being, I would say, I was always planning on doing something with therapy. I did psychology in undergrad, and then I sort of waffled around for a couple years. And it wasn't until later that I really decided, okay, I want to follow in the footsteps, your footsteps, and become a therapist. And then when I was in school, I really found myself drawn to the couple's clients. And I think that that, for me, really cemented the fact that that's what I wanted to do moving on, especially the sex therapy side of things, too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, for me, my first passion was working with couples and marriage. And really, it was, I did a premarital class, and the couples came back after that. The young couples came back for sex therapy, and I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, I got to work on this and help these young people with it. But also, you know, the sex therapy brought in the couples work. It was kind of both. And I find couples work so exciting. You know, just it's fast. It moves fast.
Yeah.
That's
it's
my experience.
Fast. In some ways, I think it's difficult, more difficult, sometimes
right.
More difficult than individual, but also with a lot more power than some mm-hmm. sometimes you find with individual too.
Yeah, right. Like an individual can say, they can tell their side of the story,
yeah.
Right? And it's hard to challenge that because you don't have the other side of the story. But when their partner goes, well, it really wasn't like that, you have leverage and chemistry right there in the room. I think that's why, for me, couples therapy is exciting. But we're talking about you.
Sure.
So I know you did an internship elsewhere, and you've been supervised by other people because, obviously, it's not ethical for me to supervise you, though you do sit in group soup with me.
Right. I participate, but not under your supervision.
Right. Sure. And but you've worked here at Awakenings, and, you know, primarily what comes in is couples and sex therapy. So then you found that you wanted to do this. Now you have completed in your sex therapy courses. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So basically, there's a lot of coursework that goes into being a certified sex therapist. I'm still in the process of my supervision there. Mm-hmm. And when that's complete, then I apply for the full certified sex therapist mm-hmm. or the sex therapist certification.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did that at the University of Michigan, right?
Yeah, which was a great program. I really want to pub them. They had a really great program, and it was a great, wonderful experience.
That's good. And then we, just for the record, we are actually developing a program in North Carolina for sex certification that will be under my direction. And you will be credentialed here in North Carolina as a sex therapist, which credentialing anywhere basically covers you in terms of your legal liabilities, you know, should you ever decide to practice this way. And I think many people both want to learn, and they also want to cover themselves. And so we'll be opening that probably in a year's time, just for the record. So what is it like, you know, just working with me as a sex therapist, as your mom, director of the clinic, how does that ever feel weird or?
Well, I think it's less weird than people imagine, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that in any family, there are power struggles and difficulties that come up.
No, and not ours.
Except if you're a sex therapist.
Yeah, right.
Then that's right out the window.
Right.
But I think that we handle them fairly well. I think that part of the development for me has been, how do you handle it and how do you make sure that you're being direct and being assertive and all of those personal growth types of goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the big things that I've learned is, that I, how do I relate to you? How do I relate to a boss in general?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it's complicated by the relationship as well.
Yeah, I think less, probably for us, it's less complicated because it surrounds sex therapy than it is just working together as mother, son, boss, employee. I mean, I think for me, those are the more complicated dynamics. I love what you bring to our center. I feel like you bring, first of all, you're our only male clinician at this point, and you bring a great male perspective. And secondly, I feel like you are really wise for your years in terms of understanding the dynamics of sex therapy, which is so critical. You know, I mean, I think we could fix people in an afternoon sexually if they would just do what we said.
Right. That's the hard part, getting them to believe. Well, and I think the hardest type of sex therapy, the most difficult cases, are the ones where you know what they're supposed to do, but then it's getting them, convincing them that that's the right case and overcoming objections. Yeah, but I would say for us, the difficult part, if we were working at a landscaping company or something like that, we'd have the same problems.
Right.
The thing that isn't weird that I think people believe might be weird is just talking to one of your parents about sex. And I think particularly talking to your opposite sex parent, that I'm a man and you're a woman, and that's weird. If I were your daughter, I think sometimes I hear people saying that might be less weird.
Yeah, I also honestly believe that there's a little bit of sexism in the way it's viewed, that as a female, I'm ahead of the clinic. I think if I were male and you were my daughter, somehow or another, I don't think people would think that was as weird. I don't know why, but that's my own impression, that there's some bias that says as the female in the lead role, there's something weirder about that.
That somehow, and I think that this comes back to sort of the Freudian, what does it mean that your mother is the center director? And it's like, well, we don't actually see each other all that much.
That's true.
That's the reality. I see you for 3 minutes in the break room, just like I see someone, the other coworkers here, and then we're back off to our individual sessions.
But you know what they say, if it's not one thing, it's your mother.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Your mother is the root of many issues in life.
For me, it's not a Freudian slip. Like, my boss is really, my boss, it is actually both.
That is so funny. Okay, when you talk about other people's sex lives, what are the difficulties? Like, what is the most difficult kind of issue that you encounter?
Well, I think one of the things is everyone thinks their problems are exceptional and unique.
Mm-hmm.
And really, and I say this to clients a lot, actually, the dynamics that they get into predominantly often fall into pursuer and distancer, or pursue withdraw, or multiple different names for that.
Right.
And I'll say, hey, I'm sorry, this is actually in a textbook. I mean, I could show you the textbook. It's at home.
I know.
And so I think that I'm not trying to do that to make them feel less than, just trying to say, this is pretty common, and we've done this a lot of times.
And there's a path out.
Yeah, there's definitely. And I think that the path out always feels really simple when you're describing it, and always feels really difficult for the clients to actually do.
That is so true. I so agree that, much of therapy is finding the pattern so that people can see that, if it's worked for other people, maybe it'll work for us. I think it's really difficult. When you're a pursuer and you hear your therapist say, essentially quit begging, they're like, if I don't hammer at home, I ain't never going to have sex.
Right.
You know, and so it feels like what we're telling them is you should not have needs.
You should just give up on your needs.
And when you are speaking to the withdrawer or the distancer and you're like, no, you need to actually speak up. And sometimes speaking up is conflictual and you have to offer, you know, yourself here. You have to nurture. Your partner is, the reason they're so angry is they're begging you to pay attention to them. You know, it's like, no, they're scary. I don't want to go toward that, you know?
Yeah. I think it really, one of the techniques of EFT is enactments. And I think it always, the first thing before we have the couple say it differently is like, I'll say to one, okay, and if they had said, and I really try to get into their partner's shoes, but really try to shape it and translate it in such a way that it comes across, and I, you know, I'll really lay it on, and if they, and every time they say, well, if you just said it that way.
Right,
If you said it that way, I'd totally
get it. If my partner had said it that way, I would have been responsive.
Right, and it's like, well, but the words themselves aren't magic. We're trying to teach a difference in the pattern.
Yeah, and you're modeling for them. And usually their partner perks up and says, yeah, exactly. I would have responded
exactly
to that.
Yeah.
You know, so you're demonstrating that they can get soft, they can get receptive to it. And that's, I think the problem with sex is really most sexual issues are bound up in this difficulty of people not stating simply what they want, what they need, who they are. It gets wrapped up in this toxic pattern, this toxic dance. And I mean, sex therapy in some ways to me is not that much different than any other kind of couples work. I mean, if they're arguing about money or over how to deal with their children, it's
chores,
the same
chores. Like that,
oh my gosh, yeah,
the chores.
Yeah, same thing. And for yourself, I think one of the things I've observed is that with all three boys, I would have predicted your pattern in life in terms of which side of the dynamic you were on. I would have seen you for sure as an uber pursuer had I predicted that. But is that
unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't happen the way we see it. And even as yourself, even a sex therapist, a relational expert, seeing that, you might not predict it the way it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, okay, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for working at my center. I love you, son.
I love you, mom/boss.
Okay, my mom, the sex therapist, and my son, the sex therapist. Thanks for listening.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833-4PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.